This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am Layla Mutin, your host. I'm a nutritionist. I'm a registered dietitian, and I see patients on a daily basis in a private practice and along with Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. Again, that's 212-779-1744. I have patients all over the country. You don't have to physically come to the office. I do phone consultations. So from coast to coast, I have patients that I have telephone consultations with. It's very easy to do. 212-779-1744. If you have questions or topics of interest that you'd like me to discuss on this podcast, where I weigh in on just about any type of health and wellness topic, and everything at some point is related to nutrition, because nutrition is eventually who we are, what we put in our bodies, right? You can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So I want to talk to you a little bit, there's a very interesting study here, about optimism and how optimism, or lack thereof, may influence your risk of diabetes. So there's some new research that suggests that optimism may have a protective effect against type 2 diabetes in postmenopausal women. And that's in addition to lifestyle factors like exercise, all of that. But they're talking about optimism here, which is terrific because, you know, how we feel, our mood, dictates how our lives will go, what outcomes we can expect. If we're pessimistic and we don't have great expectations for outcomes or reaching our health goals, it is likely you won't reach them if you're pessimistic about it. But if you're optimistic, you have every reason to believe that you will succeed. And I am certain that you will succeed if you believe you will. So we know that a range of factors can raise the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, right? Type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle choice. It happens with obesity. It happens with eating too many carbohydrates. Certain medications can also cause higher blood sugar, increasing risk factors for type 2 diabetes. So some of these factors, diet, physical activity, your weight status, can be modified. Others, including your genes, your age, your ethnicity, cannot. I beg to differ on the genes. And I don't mean your blue genes. I mean your DNA. The way we live our lives, our lifestyle, has the ability, the power, to turn genes on and off. You know, food is information, as we say in integrative and functional medicine. Food is information for our genes, for our DNA. If we're eating right, we're doing the right thing, we won't get diabetes, even if we have the genes for it. Those genes will be, quote, shut off in the simplest way that I can express to you. Otherwise, if you live a lifestyle that will promote diabetes, those genes will be turned on. And in addition to all of that, some recent studies have suggested that a person's psychology can influence their diabetes risk. Depressive symptoms, for example, correlate strongly with a higher risk of incident diabetes. Now again, correlates with, this is not a cause and effect, but it's an interesting association to look at. And researchers, as a result, have suggested that depression be, quote, included among risk factors that indicate intensified screening for diabetes, end quote. So, moreover, other studies have suggested that self-reported cynical hostility may also raise the risk of diabetes, as well as exacerbate symptoms of metabolic syndrome in postmenopausal women. Wow. However, fewer studies have looked at the protective effect that some personality traits may have on diabetes risk in this group. And in a new paper published in the journal Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause Society aims to fill this gap in the research. So scientists examined data from the Women's Health Initiative. And the Women's Health Initiative was a very big study. A lot of different conclusions were drawn from that, and they used the Women's Health Initiative here. They examined the data to see whether positive traits, such as optimism, can lower the risk of type 2 diabetes in postmenopausal women. And the Women's Health Initiative is a long-term observational study aimed at preventing a range of chronic conditions in women. What they found, the data that was included from 139,924 postmenopausal women who did not have diabetes at the beginning of the study, throughout 14 years of clinical follow-up, 19,240 cases of type 2 diabetes occurred. And the scientists assessed the women's personality traits, divided them into quartiles, and what they found is that optimism lowers diabetes risk by 12%. They found that compared with women in the lowest quartile of optimism, those who were the most optimistic were 12% less likely to develop diabetes. So what does that mean? Does simply being an optimist change your DNA somehow? I think that optimism has a lot to do with feelings of empowerment, your self-efficacy, your internal locus of control on how you can control outcomes in your life, including your health outcomes, right? So being an optimist has everything to do with that. Being a pessimist may have more to do with a victim mentality. Oh, everything happens to me. This is going to happen no matter what. Diabetes runs in my family. It doesn't matter that I eat, you know, all this ice cream every day or something. So, conversely, what they found in this study, besides that those who were optimistic had a 12% better chance or lesser chance of diabetes, conversely, women who were the most likely to express negative emotions had a 9% higher risk of developing diabetes. And those who were in the highest quartile of hostility were 17% more likely to develop the condition. Additionally, the study found that this correlation between hostility and diabetes risk was less strong in obese women. That's actually very interesting. So the obesity in and of itself will make you more prone to developing type 2 diabetes, right? Yeah. So your psychology, you know, after the fact, after, you know, the presence of obesity, mattered a little less, was less strong. So low optimism and high negativity and hostility were associated with increased risk of incident diabetes among postmenopausal women, independent of major health behaviors and depressive symptoms. So, in addition to efforts to promote healthy behaviors, women's personality traits should be considered to guide clinical or programmatic intervention strategies in diabetes prevention. Personality traits remain stable across one's lifetime. Therefore, women at higher risk for diabetes who have low optimism, high negativity, and hostility could have prevention strategies tailored to their personality types. In addition to using personality traits to help us identify women at higher risk for developing diabetes, more individualized education and treatment strategies could also be used. And remember, in the United States, approximately 15 million or 1 in 9 women are currently living with diabetes. I think that your psychology or the amount of optimism or pessimism has everything to do with your own feeling of empowerment. So in looking more closely at this study in the journal Menopause, the objective was that the researchers examined whether personality traits, including optimism, ambivalence over emotional expressiveness, negative emotional expressiveness, and hostility were associated with developing type 2 diabetes. So the age group of these women, they were aged between 50 and 79, again, postmenopausal. And that low optimism and hostility were associated with increased risk. So this is all very interesting. And from a nutritional counseling point of view, and you know, nutrition counseling is a big part of what I do, we assess the patient or the client's readiness for change. Their readiness for change would be more apparent with optimism and less apparent with pessimism. Somebody who is pessimistic does not believe that change will bring about the desired outcome, so why bother, right? It's a little bit fatalistic. So this is important information in nutrition counseling, because the optimism has everything to do with the outcome. You know, if you believe something, you are right. If you believe you will be successful, you will likely be successful. If you believe you won't succeed. And I'm not talking anymore about a health outcome. It could be an endeavor in your life. It could be a career in your life or a change in the objectives in your life, where you're going, whether it's in your career or in how you live your life. Maybe it has to do with your outlook, your spirituality, how you maintain your relationships, whether those relationships are healthy or toxic. You want to be careful of toxic relationships, because this will also further exacerbate pessimism. It may directly feed it. But again, you have to believe in your internal locus of control and that you have power to change the outcomes in your life. You don't have to be in a toxic relationship if you don't want to. You can sever that relationship. You can seek relationships with healthier people, people who are optimistic, like yourselves, right? All very important when we talk about health. You know, I've touched on in the past the blue zones, Okinawa, Akira, I forget, it's an island off the coast of Greece, off the coast of even, I think closer to Cyprus. And these blue zones in the world where people forget to die. I remember the heading of an article I read, I forget the newspaper, but these are the areas in the world where people forget to die. They live to ripe old ages in their 90s to 100, all of that. Besides eating very healthy foods, food that they've raised, food that they've grown in their own backyards, these are a little more more local farming communities, things like that. But there are other aspects to this. There is a sense of community, a sense of being able to rely on your neighbor, your family. These are areas of the world where even extended families live together, generational families where parents, the children, grandparents, they all live in the same house. Or maybe they all live in the same two or three family house, right? Or they live very nearby in the same neighborhoods, all of that. There's social connection. There's a tribe that you belong to. Your tribe is very necessary in your health and in your life. These are, as Dr. Phil would say, these are soft places to fall. Your reliance are in your community on the support and the moral support of your family, of your friends, aka your tribe. You feel cushioned. You feel a sense of safety in these warm places. And these blue zones contain that. Yes, they contain the healthy food, the way they eat, the way they have reverence for their mealtimes, the way they partake socially in their mealtimes. Most of these regions are very, these blue zones are very, very social. These people, we are social beings as humans. Not necessarily here like America where independence is prized. Independence is a great thing, of course. But we're all locked up in our isolated tablets and telephones and social media. We need more human contact. And I think this also plays a role in whether we are optimistic or pessimistic. I think how we relate to other people, our tribe, our access to our tribe, and not just on Facebook, but to go next door to your neighbor, to visit your family, to have Sunday dinner, to visit relatives and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents, and having proximity to them, having proximity to your friends, retaining those friendships that you developed in school or those friendships that you developed as an adult, which for some people can be harder to do, right? But it is still worth the effort. So when I look at this study of diabetes and postmenopausal women and that your psychology may have an impact on your risk factors for developing it, I think that your I think that the amount of moral support you have from your tribe has everything to do with your outlook on your life. If you tend to be more isolated, that will cause subsequent feelings of loneliness. This all adds to pessimism. Hard to be optimistic when you feel isolated and lonely. We need to nurture our hearts with these very important relationships. That's how we retain our optimism. And I see optimism being less and less apparent, except in those who retain and keep vital relationships in their lives, have those soft places to fall, have the moral support of family and friends. And I think this is very, very important in health outcome. And even in doing a nutrition assessment, I want to know, do you live alone? Is there a significant other in your life? Are you married? Do you have children? Are your parents nearby? What is your social life like? This has everything to do with how you function in the world. And this is all very important to look at in determining an outcome. Because when you have moral support, you have the readiness for change. You have an internal locus of control. You have optimism. So this is important. So very interesting study there. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.